This running wire is a very long one, but I'll read the last paragraph. I hate to bother you, but I thought it was in sum, we conclude that running trip to Hanoi apparently produced empty basket, except for the maintenance Canadian Channel. B, the government of Canada, probably hoping to come up with a new proposal of its own to pipe in the channel and keep Canadian initiative alive, but we doubt they'll be able to do so quickly. C, the Canadian obviously anxious to hold back the prize of direct running contact with U.S. government officials here in hope of sending him to Washington for discussions with senior department officials. From Martin's viewpoint, the secretary. And D, we believe it would be extremely difficult to provide the government of Canada with convincing reasons to turn off the running trip to Washington. We think the early visit may provide the simplest way to cap off current unproductive exercise, even though Canadians subsequently continue endeavor put Ronning Ball in air a third time. The only reasonably direct and rapid Ottawa DC flight leaves here daily at 7:40 and arrives 10:17. Presumably the earliest timing of trip may therefore be June 22nd, that's tomorrow. Embassy will await instructions from the department before pursuing timing of possible running travel to Washington. That's a summary. Now, here's another pertinent paragraph, too. The DCM, this is what shocks me, and Christberg saw Martin this evening at his request and were given general briefing on running mission. Running himself was not present. Instead were present Ralph Collins, Assistant Undersecretary Klaus Goldschlag, Chief of the Far Eastern Division, Tom Delworth, Vietnamese desk officer. Martin explained Ronning had been extremely tired, and after meeting at length with himself and Prime Minister Pearson, until 15 minutes before the DCM Kreisberg meeting, had been sent home to rest. Martin emphasized he's simply providing U.S. with some highlights. That full flavor of the Ronning mission could best be given by Ronning himself to senior department officers. He hoped Ronning could meet with the secretary. Two, Martin said Ronning had concluded after meeting with the PAVN ICC liaison officer Ha Phan Lao, Vice Foreign Minister Lin Go Thoc, and Foreign Minister Tran, who received him in his capacity as vice premier, that no progress with DRV was possible on the basis of U.S. proposal for cessation of bombing in exchange for reciprocal military action by DRV and SVM. Martin said Ronning had conveyed the U.S. position precisely. The DRV representative said they were already aware of the U.S. position, public reports of U.S. proposals at last Sino-U.S. talks in Warsaw. That U.S. approach was unacceptable. The DRV representatives reiterated their willingness to open talks on basis of their original proposition that U.S. permanently halt bombing of North Vietnam. They unwilling, however, consider any reciprocity whatever in exchange for the bombing halt. Martin emphasized that DRV spokesmen had repeatedly indicated their desire to keep open the Canadian channel in response to a question. He acknowledged the desirability of keeping the channel, the Canadian channel, unquote, open had first been raised by Ronning, but emphasized the DRV representatives had concurred. When asked why he thought the DRV seemed to find it useful to keep the channel open, he replied by repeating his description of Ronning's initiative and putting the question to them, but he gave no substantive response. Martin said the DRV officials had been more hospitable and friendly to Ronning this time than on his last trip, but they had been harder and had taken a harder line in conversation. In initial meetings with Ronning, DRV officials accused Canadians of insincerity, being U.S. puppets, parroting U.S. line. Ronning defended Canadian integrity and offered to leave Hanoi immediately if Canadian sincerity was doubted. Following this, DRV officials reportedly pulled back in their criticism and noted usefulness of Canadian channel. The DRV officials put forward no new ideas or proposals during Ronning's visit. The The DRV's four points were not pressed directly with Ronning, although individual elements of points were raised during conversation. DRV officials reiterated their confidence in eventual victory and pointed to distance in the United States. Parenthesis, specifically mentioning Senator Fulbright by name, close parenthesis, and to the relationship between the locale of international of internal SDM difficulties and concentration of U.S. troops in centers such as Da Nang. Ronning was not received by Pham Van Dong or by Ho Chi Minh. Pham was said to have been out of town, but Ronning had the impression Pham was at the alternate DRV administrative center. In describing negative DRV response to Ronning approach, to the Ronning approach, Martin again reiterated his regret at leak of Warsaw talk approach to CHICOMs on Vietnam. Martin noted that message U.S. agreed to have Canadians present to DRV was less specific in describing DRV response, which would be acceptable in exchange to U.S. cessation of bombing, than were the proposals presented at Warsaw. Martin also reiterated and emphasized for at least third time since Friday the Canadian concern about the effect of possible U.S. actions which might be planned on the usefulness of the Canadian channel. He again stated that he hoped that whatever might be said by Canada or U.S. officials in the days ahead, no reference would be made to Ronning's visit in the context of noting indications of DRV attitude. Martin emphasized, although he thought reciprocal bombing DRV military actions proposal was clearly dead, the government of Canada might wish to consider with the U.S. other possible approaches to DRV which might be made through Canadian channel. Martin said Ronning would be prepared to go to Washington tomorrow, or at the earliest convenience, the U.S. government. He clearly wants an opportunity for Ronning to talk personally with the Secretary and others concerned. In response, he was told that we were sure the Department would be perfectly happy to receive him, but that obviously precautions should be taken to ensure that there's no publicity attendant which would give the appearance that he's just reporting to headquarters. No indication given of level at which Ronning might be received. We agreed to refer a question of timing of possible Ronning vision to the department immediately. I thought in view of your planned departure, in view of Taylor's going to the hospital, I hate to call you, but I thought maybe I'll talk to you and see if you thought, well, first, what your reaction was, two, whether you thought that I guess we have to see Ronning here in the light of their request. And three, whether we would be justified in calling up there and telling him to put him on that plane, or whether we should go over another day. I guess that would be the desirable thing, but
I'd let it go another day, Mr. President.
Well, that sure does put us.
What I've been trying to do is just decide what you want to do as far as the mission is concerned. Attack on the petroleum is concerned, and just if you wanted to go ahead, issue the orders and tell them to do it effective tomorrow night or something like that, and let Ronning come down here tomorrow. I don't think I'd call under any circumstances and have him come today.
Well, it seems to me that you can't very well go ahead as long as you got this thing in the air this way, can you? Since they're pleading to see the Secretary himself.
Well, I'd let them come down tomorrow, but I think what I'd be inclined to do is decide today that I wanted to do that and send out the command order and say effective tomorrow night. You're authorized anytime thereafter to do this and let them go ahead and plan it that way. Then if by any chance anything came up tomorrow, just cancel. But I think it's perfectly clear that it's dead. And I think it's reprehensible conduct on the Canadians' part to handle it this way. They've just been dangling this thing in front of us now for 4 or 5 days.
You know, Bob, I had the feeling when we talked the other day that one of our friends might be actually going to contact them and ask them to kind of help delay this thing. It really concerned me. I wonder if there's been any conversation between Goldberg and these people.
I doubt it.
You do?
I doubt it. I really do. But I don't like at all what they're doing. I think it's really disgraceful the way they've handled this, refusing to let him talk in Vientiane or Bangkok, or refusing to give us a cable, or now having stringing it out this way.
And not even letting him talk last night?
Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure that he ought to come down here.
Looks like to me it would really destroy it, because it looks like he'd be surfaced.
Well, yes, and then...
And he'd be reporting to headquarters.
And then the press is going to speculate that he had something. That's why he came, and particularly if he goes back. So I'm not at all sure I'd have him come. But in any event, I wouldn't do it today.
You have any other things to report?
No, sir, I don't.
Wonder if we shouldn't get together pretty early in the morning in the light of this cable and talk about it with Dean.
Probably should. I've unfortunately got to be at the Senate for testimony before Scoop Jackson's committee at 10 o'clock, but any time before then I could.
What time does Dean get to work? 8:30?
Yeah, between 8:30 and 9.
Let's meet over here in my room and say at 8:30.
8:30, I'll be there.
Okay, fine.